obviously not all psychics are mediums, but by its very nature, are all mediums psychics?
I would say the answer is yes, because psychic work is dealing one-to-one, human-to-human, basically. You're working with that person directly, understanding who they are, what their character is all about, trends and patterns from their past that are influencing their present and possibly their future, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. When we start working with mediumship, though, we're reaching out beyond the human level, and we do our work, well, those of us who understand the process, we always work from a mediumistic place thereafter after, because it's just easier.
Okay.
It's just easier. If you knew the answers, you wouldn't be talking to the medium, would you?
Well, everybody wants those answers. And as I was saying earlier, usually it is somewhat future-oriented. I mean, I'm sure there are people wondering to some degree about unsolved things in their past, but
yep.
Most people are curious about what's coming up, not what has happened.
Right, trends and patterns, and we always have to remind ourselves that free will changes everything.
That is a very big one, and I think that probably is something that we have more on the earth plane than anywhere else. And I would also think that that's what accounts for a lot of people who say, well, that wasn't a good reading, that didn't happen, when if you go back and realize that, well, if you hadn't done this or that, it would have happened.
Exactly true. Because, in other words, a good reading is often about helping you see what's coming so that you can take better action to make the most of that other person's probable choice.
Now, when we talk about probable realities, of course, we get into pop physics, which, of course, begs the question, when we come to that fork in the road, are we on some level taking both choices? In other words, are there lives in harmonics of ours tandem with us?
Oh, that is a wild question. I love that one. Yes, I'd say yes. Basically, yes, because as you mentioned before, there is only the moment now, but it extends in all directions. We just think of it as linear time.
Can we switch tracks?
Right, we switch tracks. But so, yes, it can be all happening all at once in sort of a holographic way, I guess you could say. When you cut up that little thing on your credit card, you get two new ones.
Right. And so, of course, if you'd look at it that way on an incarnational basis, by the end of the life, maybe you'd be able to see 587,000 patterns. But, of course, the question that we'll ask while we're, you know, sunk in the doldrums of maybe some bad choices, okay, can I switch to one of those other choices now?
Yeah, you can. Now, is it going to be easy? If I decide tomorrow I want to become a rock star, I've got a long way to go. Not going to happen. I mean, I could get started and go for it. But it's unlikely. The probability is low. That doesn't mean I couldn't try it and enjoy the process.
Well, you know, that actually brings up something where, when we'll talk about this, when we talk about soulmates and stuff, a lot of people get fixated on, oh, Bob Smith is the one for me, I have to have Bob, rather than the qualities that we think Bob embodies that we want in our life. And I would think that that's the same thing about deciding you want to be a rock star. More often than not, it's not because you want the certified gold record. It's you want certain qualities that come with that maybe are accessible to anyone.
Correct. And you can find another way to have that experience.
But it's hard.
It doesn't have to be the path you think. It doesn't have to be Bob. It doesn't have to be, you know, the rock star trip. It can be other things, as you said, that embody those qualities.
There's an old saying, very, very trite, that happiness is not getting what you want, it's wanting what you get.
Absolutely true. And that, I think, if there's one thing I would encourage people to learn how to do, it's to just take what is before them and be grateful.
And that sounds so easy, doesn't it, Lauren? It just sounds.
It does. So, I know. Yeah. There are days when I'm in traffic thinking, why should I be grateful for this? You know?
Well,
on the train again with 5,000 people. Yeah.
Right. And the doldrums set in, and you're bored with the routine. Someone else at a distance looks at it and says, the most exciting thing in the world. And you're going, I got to do this again today.
That's right. But no, it's true. It is all largely perspective. And that is where I think our free will comes into play most of all, because no matter what the scenario, we can change our thoughts and feelings about it, which changes everything.
That's all it is, of course. Perception is reality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we pass over, as far as you can tell from talking to the people who have, are we able to access all of our past lives and the information from them?
Actually, I did my own dissertation research on near-death experiences, and I've had a few myself. And what I found is what comes up is what's most relevant. In other words, if I'm working on a lesson about being public, let's say, doing things like radio programs, I'm going to pick out the lives and remember the ones where I was a public speaker in some way, because that's going to be a theme line running through it. So there's so many to choose from, I'd say, that we have to kind of understand that what pops up are the ones that are important to know about, and there will be a theme in those.
Why is it that individuals can't access that information here? Because seemingly knowing what you've learned in past lives on a cognitive level, a conscious level, would be an aid, but it seems like the Akashic records are checked out from my library.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was just writing something today to a friend. I was like, you know, Paisley. I go crazy for Paisley. Why? I must have been a weaver in 14th century France. I don't know. But I know there are little things that still get me going, ooh, you know, that I know are very much past lives. And your listeners probably have that, too, that they find themselves very fond of a particular period in history or a particular item or color or object or something that they're just fascinated by and they can't think of a good reason for it from this life. Those are clues to a past life connection. The next thing to ask would be, why this, why now? Which my students will tell you that's the one thing I'm always asking in class. Okay, so you got this great message. Why is this person here? What do they want to say? Why now? They could come anytime. Why today?
Well, now we get back into our intuition discussion with regard to that is a very rational, logical question as opposed to the frame of mind you're in when you get the message. So once you've gotten it, do you switch back to your left brain and say, now I'll analyze it?
Exactly. And people do it in simple ways from keeping dream. In my book, Natural Born Intuition, too, there's lots of exercises in there. And one of my favorites, of course, is the journal keeping one. Write this stuff down and go back over it once a week. You'll see trends and patterns. Just keep track of the interesting dreams you have or the times when the same thing keeps coming up. And the thing we forget to do is ask for repetition. I have a long-standing habit of saying make it unmistakable because I don't want to fool around. If I've got to get something, I'd rather get to it and get it over with and move on to the next thing.
Oh, sure. Now, this is begging another question that's probably pretty obvious. The difference between psychic abilities and intuitive abilities.
Intuitive is the inward journey, much more. The psychic work is working with somebody else, so you're kind of partnering there. So you could say that intuition kind of precedes the psychic thing, which precedes mediumship. So they're kind of stacked one on top of the other. Intuition would be the base level that you have to really get comfortable with. Know thyself first, then you worry about knowing other people, and then you start worrying about knowing the other people who knew the other people.
Which is
so
interesting.
I
would think when you're doing that intuitive work, you're also, to a degree, tapping somehow into that collective consciousness, that cosmic consciousness, because there's only so much you get by going within.
That's right. So, yes, you're sort of first getting a good, strong sense of who you are in this moment. Then you're kind of casting a line out to the source point or God source or angels, whatever you want to think of it as, the place beyond you, the transpersonal, the place that more is known and understood, and asking to be shown some of that, the parts you can grasp that will help you illuminate the message.